Okay. Huh? Are we? There we go. All right. Where do we leave off? 33. Despite their suffering from war, famine, plague, persecution, and other catastrophes, God's people can yet overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and are assured. I really got to read this better. Assured that the final victory will be his, and they will be heirs, since the Lamb proves to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I apologize. Overcome is your blank. 34. Yeshua the Lamb does more than occupy the center of the stage in salvation history and worship. Soon he will have a central place when history ends and the curtain rises on eternity. We cannot fail to notice or to be impressed by John's repeated and uninhibited coupling of God and the Lamb. Central place. How many know Jesus is returning to Jerusalem? Amen. Amen. He will go through the Eastern Gate. Despite the Muslims blocking it up, putting a wrought iron railing around it, and having those ossuaries with dead bones in it. Okay. 35. John depicts Yeshua as mediating God's salvation, sharing God's throne, receiving God's worship, and diffusing God's light. And his worthiness, which qualifies him for these unique privileges, is due to the fact that he was slain and by his death procured our salvation. If the book of life is said to belong to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world, and John is telling us nothing less than that from eternity. Sheesh, Butch, you're really aggravating. And John is telling us nothing less than that from eternity of the past to eternity of the future, the center of the stage is occupied by the Lamb of God who was slain. 37. The foundation stone for all church and Christian history is truly his story. And the heart of his story is the power of his cross. Paul, Peter, and John understand the power of the cross for salvation as seen in their writings. Now let me talk about this. Just give me, you got 8 minutes. Give me a little time here. You guys should know this by now. Have you seen this term in the Bible? Sheol. Sheol was another term for hell. In Jesus' day in the first century, they believed that hell had two compartments. One was a place of torment. The other was a place called the bosom of Abraham, also called paradise. We have two scriptures. One where we see the beggar Lazarus, and the rich man is in torment, and he can see Lazarus in the what? In the bosom of Abraham. Then there's another story in the Gospels about the two thieves hanging on the cross beside Jesus. One of them says, if you're the Christ, get us off of here. The other one says, hey, we deserve to be here, but this guy, he's done nothing wrong. And Jesus tells him, today you'll be with me in where? Paradise, right? Let me see if I can find this scripture in Colossians. Okay. In Job 18, if you're taking notes, in Job 18, I don't know what verse, you'll find it. It says, that when the wicked die, they are paraded in front of the king of wicked, the wicked king, okay? King of wickedness, all right? We know there's a king over the bottomless pit. His name is Abaddon, right? Apollyon. Some believe he is the death angel that passed over in Egypt. I think that too. I'm not 100%. I can't be 100% sure, but it sure looks like it. All right? So if the wicked die and they're paraded in front of this evil king in that place of torment, okay, what did Jesus do? According to the Apostle Paul in his letter to Colossians, he says in verse 11, in him, in Jesus, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now watch what he says. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Another place, I think it's Peter, in a letter to Ephesians, it tells us that Jesus descended. He went into the place of paradise. He preached the gospel, and then he emptied it out. Okay? Because up until that time, they believed that when you died, your spirit went into paradise if you were a righteous person. If you were wicked, it went into torment, the place of torment. And obviously, the people in torment could see the people in the bosom of Abraham. Because remember, the rich man said, oh, let Lazarus dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue. And Abraham says, now that can't happen because there's a great gulf betwixt us. So what happens, I think, seeing as how Paul says he disarmed principalities and powers. Now remember, Paul's on the backside of the desert with Jesus being taught this stuff. Paul, you should have seen it. When I went into that place of torment and the enemy thought he had me and they wanted to parade me in front of that king of wickedness, I grabbed him by the nape of the neck and I made a public display of him. Now, because of Jesus' humility, he would have never said it that way. Okay, but I believe that's exactly what he did. So in his death, all right, in his death now, he is going to defeat death, hell, and the grave and defeat this king of wickedness, right? And upon his resurrection now, you and I are now guaranteed a resurrection because of his resurrection, because he's our first fruits offering. Amen. And that's something we like to celebrate around here after Passover. We have Passover on Good Friday at 6:30. That's a plug for you guys. And then we'll celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And it was at the same time Jesus is coming out of the grave that they're waving the first fruits of the barley harvest at the south end of the temple, offering up a tithe of that barley harvest to the Lord, guaranteeing the rest of the harvest would be plenteous. So just like Jesus is the firstborn, he's resurrected from the dead, he guarantees our resurrection. So when you look at the cross, the resurrection is important to the cross, but the cross has got to be the foundation stone for Christianity. Paul said it is the power of God unto salvation. You can be dismissed. You did well, and you're out early tonight. Me call. Say that again.